Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, let's continue today by reading from the book of Mark chapter 3. It would be a nice one to start with. The book of Mark chapter 3. I want to read from verse 13. And the Bible says here that they're speaking about the Lord Jesus. And he went up to the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed, that is from amongst these, 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have authority to cast out demons. And then from verse 16, and to end in verse 19, he named the 12 of them. We're not going to read the names, but please notice the fact here, that he appointed 12 for working with him in ministry. And the first thing he wanted from them is that they might be with him. And then he'll be able to send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. Please notice that very well. Now let's get back to the book of Matthew chapter 11 that we have been reading for a while. That's in this series. The book of Matthew chapter 11. I'm reading verse 28. It said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That is, the way by which you take my yoke is by learning from me. He says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I'm continuing what I've been speaking about for a while, about the purpose of our walk with God. And as usual, I'd like to take the first 3 minutes or so to just bring us all up to speed on what we have been discussing. We said that there is a purpose for everything, and that we must be careful to know what God is doing for us to say we are walking with him. We have established the fact that every human being, no matter what he wants to pretend to be thinking, contrary to what we are saying, every human being needs God and has a feeling that he does. Sometimes he does not know what that feeling is. Therefore, he tries to kill it or satisfy it with alcohol. A lot of them don't know what that feeling is. They want to satisfy it with making money, all right? Just have this crazy quest to be successful in life. It's a feeling that you're trying to satisfy. Sometimes some people don't know what that feeling is. They think they need love. So you see a woman marry one wife, one husband, another one, keep on marrying. And then there are men who their own is just must have all the girlfriends possible on the earth. All of this, the people are trying to kill a particular feeling. And we've established the fact that that is the space for God in their hearts that they are trying to fill with other things. And be careful. Notice this. Anytime you are chasing things in life and you get them and you are never satisfied, it is because God is missing. You are trying to fill a space that God is supposed to occupy with something else. We have established that. We now say, even for those of us who have come to the knowledge, which is what we actually need, the knowledge of God, the true God, which Jesus described in chapter 17, that knowledge of the true God being what he called eternal life, those of us who have come to that knowledge through the Lord Jesus Christ, we should also understand the purpose for our walk with God. That our walk with God is not so that we can have children. No. You know, you must understand that some things are core in life and some things are just added. Are you getting my point? Our walk with God is not because we want to be sure that God will bless us with husbands when the time comes. No. That's not it. Some things are core and some things are peripheral. Those are the peripheral things. In fact, Jesus said it like this: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And other things, these are the things he calls other things. So our walk with God is not so that we can get out of him. Our walk with God, we said, is so that we can become like him. And that's our purpose. And Peter said that we have promises. God has given us those promises so that through them we can become partakers of the divine nature. We study from the book of Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus was the radiance of his glory and was the exact representation of his nature. And what we are supposed to be is also like that. That in fact, Jesus, the Lord said in that Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus went through the suffering of the cross so that he can bring many sons to glory. That everyone that will believe in him, we have the opportunity and the avenue and the understanding of the method by which he also or she will also be a partaker of that divine nature. So when we are walking with God, what we are looking for is the increase, are you getting me, of the manifestation of his nature in our lives. That's what we are gunning for. We are not trying to please him. We're not trying to pay him back for the days of iniquity. Most certainly not. We're not trying to do things so as to put him in our debt so that you can go and pray and say, God, you know, I did this for these other people. You also will do it for me. That is not Christianity. That is not righteousness. And God does not recognize it. Just to emphasize this again, because you help a lot of people. Anytime you do good work and you quote that good work for God in prayer as a way of claiming a blessing from his hands, you have killed the power of the good work. What do you do with your good work? You do them continually. All right? I preached a message then which I titled The Switch of God's Power. I said the switch of God's power is a continual doing of good works. You cannot. I like to drop these things here and there so that to help Christians, at least into thinking about it. You cannot say, God, I want to give you this money so that you will give me a car. You cannot say, God, I'm going to give this offering so that I can claim a child out of your hands as a woman that needs a child. You cannot say, God, I'm giving you this money so I can get promotion. You cannot say, God, I'm giving this offering so I can get a job. It does not work. What we get from God is based simply on the recognition of the fact that he loves us. Jesus said it like this, whatever it is that you desire, he said, when you ask, believe that you have received them and they shall be yours. And he said to us in another place, to the disciples, that if you ask the Father for anything, I'm not telling you that I'm going to ask the Father for you. He said, I'm telling you that the Father loves you also. Therefore, if you ask him for anything in my name, that one he will give to you. Are you getting the point I'm making? And the reason he said is because the Father loves you also. The Father did all the things he did for me because he loved me. And therefore, what I made sure I did was to abide in the love of the Father. And the Bible makes it clear to us that we can never please God except by faith. So when we come to him in faith, what is faith? Just recognizing these simple facts. That's what faith is. We've said again and again that knowledge is power. When I know that God loves me. Now, I was listening to Andrew Womack the other day. And in fact, you know, just now I'm saying that I realize it. All right, he spent like 2 or 3 hours in different messages explaining the fact that he came to realize that God loved him. I was tired of hearing it. You get my point? He just kept on saying, you know, because I just found that God loves me and I know he does, he does. You know, I was tired of hearing it. But I realized why God made him say it, because it's the most important thing. If you don't realize that God loves you, are you getting my point? Your faith can never be strong. It can never be strong. Listen, we come to God because we know he loves us. We ask him for anything. We don't have to walk. You know what I say to people all the time? A brother came to me. I told his story also in that book, How to Walk for God. And I'm encouraging everybody to read the book. In the book, How to Walk for God, I told the story. A brother came to me once. He said, I don't ask God for anything. And I said, why? He said, because I don't see what I have done for him that he should do anything for me. And I started laughing. I started laughing. Why was I laughing? To me, it was so absurd. But the truth is that that's what a lot of people do. All the work they are working is so that they will have the power and the confidence to approach the throne of grace to ask for something. They come with the power of their good works. And Jesus taught us clearly that, listen, you cannot pray like that, otherwise you will not be justified. Two people went to pray. One was quoting all his good works. And the other one just went there and said, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus told us that one went home more justified than the one that was quoting his good works. Because anyone that exalts himself shall be humbled. Are you getting my point? You cannot come to God quoting your good works. So I told the brother that day, I said, you know my children. Then I had two of them. He said, yes. I said, think about it. What do they ever do for me so that I would do something for them? Of course, you know. The answer is what? Nothing. The only thing they do is they smile. That time they were very small. The only thing they do is cause me trouble. That's the only thing they do. Run all over the house. You arrange something, they scatter it. They come to your bed. If they are not wearing nappies, they pee on it. At the end of the day, all they get as a reward is new clothes. Do you understand what I'm going to say? What do they do? Nothing. And that's our relationship with God. Why do they get all those things? Because I love them. We cannot do anything to demand back from him. Why do we work with him? We want to be like him. That's the greatest desire of our hearts. So that we'll be exactly like our Father. Are you getting my point? Don't ever forget that. So the method by which you do that, we said, is by what? Knowledge. By imbibing his word. Don't forget that thing I've been saying. Knowledge. True knowledge is power. The more of God you know. Now, please, know now is not intellectual knowledge. It's what the Greek calls epignosis, what the Bible calls deep and true knowledge. Knowledge that's intuitive. You get my point? The kind of knowledge that God, you have never seen him, but you know is there, but not because you read about it in the book. And there's more to discover about God. And, you know, so I'm not talking about going to theological school and cramming scriptures and being able to recite it from the beginning to the end. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing him for who he is in a personal relationship kind of way. You are getting the point I'm making here. And the more of him we know, the more of him we become like. Do you get my point? Listen, a lot of human beings, I'm into my message for today now. A lot of human beings are so far removed from the character of God, and that is the problem we have on this earth. I think about it a lot of times. In fact, once I told myself I'm going to settle down to itemize the number of ways by which Nigerians waste resources. Yeah, there are a lot of ways. There are a lot of ways. That is, Nigeria is actually far richer than what it's experiencing. And like I say it all the time, listen, we don't have natural disasters. And please pray that we don't have it. People used to say that we are lucky. This is not an earthquake belt. I said, no, stop saying that kind of thing. There's no earthquake belt. It's only people who are experiencing judgment that see earthquake. And if God decides not to show us mercy, suddenly we just see earthquake all over the place. And may we not have earthquake in Jesus' name. Very, very important, all right? So I look at it and say, we don't have natural disasters. So what is the reason for our poverty? It is simple. It's human. It's human. It's human. That is the people's attitude. You give a man a job. He say, okay, do this. A job that he could do effectively for maybe 1 billion naira. They will hype it up to 5 billion and still not do it properly. At the end of the day, what it produces, what they don't realize, it produces societal poverty. Do you get my point? Because if he had done that job well for 1 billion naira, he would have pocketed several millions and have become very rich. And the other form would have done more for the society. And the more, if you have good roads, good rail system, good power supply, you suddenly empower other people to be richer because they become more productive. That's the way it is. So the single money you took away, which does not make you richer, you're as poor as you used to be. You don't just realize it. You stole 1 billion, you are still poor. You stole 4, you are still poor. Poverty is not just about whether you have cash or not. Poverty is first in the mind. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not talking about that in details. I just want to explain something about how we Nigerians put ourselves into poverty and how it's the reflection of the lack of divine character. One major way, which I want to use to illustrate, is when we get to junctions. You get my point? You get to a junction, if the traffic warden, say, let him just go and ease himself, and it's a busy junction, that's the end of movement for the day. But if you get to where people are ordered, they don't need that traffic warden, they don't need that traffic light. They have a simple principle, all right? And it's in the scriptures, prefer one another in love. So a white man designed what they call a stop sign. You know what they do at a stop sign? When you get there, you stop and look out for whether there are other cars in that junction that got there before you, and you let them go. And you don't need to be afraid, like my fellow Nigerians, that everybody else will not start going. No. The next guy who came after those guys you met there, he has also looked and he has seen that you got there before him. And instinctively, he also waits for you to go. Are you getting my point? So the point is that, you see, they've created that with a divine principle, which is called the prefer one another in love. And once we are operating by that, there is never a hold up. That way, instead of a small traffic jam keeping people for the next 3 hours there, each person gets there, waits for like 5 minutes, and he goes, it's soon his turn. That's what they call the manifestation of the ways of God. So Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. How do you do that? By learning of me. Are you getting my point? Now, when we learn, I'm getting back to it now. So you see that a lot of our poverty we experience in society is lack of the manifestation of divine nature. And for those of us who are believers, what we are doing is to learn of him so that that divine nature is reflected in our lives. And listen to me, it automatically reflects in all that we do. Are you getting my point? There is an order. This is how God is. He said the law came by Moses. He was speaking in the book of John chapter 1. He said, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What are we saying about that? That is, Moses gave laws. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt do this. But the Lord Jesus didn't do that. He came to change people from inside. Are you getting my point? He came to change them so that instead of saying, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods, You will love your neighbor so much, you would rather be giving to him than wanting the one he has. Therefore, making that commandment needless. So you discover that those who have been touched by him, nobody covets his neighbor's goods. Do you get my point? So that's how the Lord works. He changes people from inside and is reflected outside. So the outside change, all right, is a reflection of that which has occurred inside. I said something to us last time and I need to say it again. Your walk with God is not effective. It is not living. It is not alive, except you personally can look and know there has been serious development in your character. Are you getting my point? Listen, Christians don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't do, there are things Christians don't do. Not because there are laws against it, but because the nature of God being formed into them, do you get my point? Makes those things unnecessary. This is the point we are making, let's continue on that. Jesus said, how do they achieve this? That's what I said. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. How do you do that? By learning of me. So we read from that book of Mark chapter 3, that when Jesus wanted to start out, before he began to send people out, what he did was to call them in. Please listen to that. Before he sent them out, what did he do? He called them in. The Bible said it like this. We read it just a while ago. He said that he chose these people, 12 of them, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach. He wasn't planning to send them out except they were with him. Are you getting my point? And like I said to us last time, and I want to develop it again further, we don't go to church so that we might walk. We go to church so that we might be with Christ. We go to church so that we might be with the Word of God. And as the Word of God is transforming us, do you get my point? The work now comes out of us naturally. We don't. You see, as a preacher, if you're a preacher, listen. You don't study to preach. Somebody asked me long ago, how do you preach? Do you study or you pray? This was many, many years ago. I was very young that time. I didn't know what he was talking about. Which one is study? Which one is pray? You understand what I'm saying? But now that I've been preaching for some years, you understand? I have realized that I don't speak things to people that I don't know and that I don't understand. Are you getting my point? I will never pick a book, read something, and then come and vomit it out, except because there are situations in which you read something, it affects you, and you say, oh, you pick the book and say, guys, I read something, I think you should hear it too, because of how much it has touched you. Are you getting my point? So what the Lord Jesus was doing was to bring people to him. He turns them to people like him, and then he sends them out. And listen, that's our assignment we said as believers. Our walk with God is so that we can be like him. And we do that by learning. The question is that what is your focus as a believer? Are you one of those that bring shame to the gospel of Christ? Yeah, because I know what I'm trying to say. That you know that character-wise, you are not more like God is. You are not more. Let's talk about the God that we saw at the time. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not more like Jesus, all right, is than the person who is not a believer in your office. I gave an illustration last time that have you a better Christian than you used to be? It's not because my dance in church is now more serious. No. How do I dance when salaries are delayed? If I was grumbling one way or grumbling like everybody else in that office, I am not more of a believer than the rest of the people there. Just by the way. You know, I like to say things by the way. It helps us here and there. Let me tell you the principle of preaching the gospel. You know, those days they told us that you have to preach the gospel. So we'll go and carry things, cram scriptures, go from room to room. I was on campus then. I begin to recite the things that you crammed. Are you getting my point? It's good. You know, there's some exercise you must go through in your life. It's better than joining a gang. Amen? It's better than joining a gang. But what I want to say is this. The main thing about preaching the word of God, the main thing about it is by first becoming something people want to hear. I don't know what I said. That you become something and people want to know how you became it. There's a story I heard some time ago. I heard a man talk about how one of his friends gave his life to Christ. There were students on campus and they were in class. Exam was tough and students were cheating. And then one guy sat down there in front. For him, the exam was also tough, but he wouldn't cheat. He wouldn't raise his eyes to talk to anybody. He didn't raise his head to ask anybody any question. And he sat down there. The exam was also tough for him. Finally, they submitted the questions and they left. Then the person was telling this story. What happened to him was that one day he went to fellowship on the same campus. And he sat down there and he saw somebody preaching. And he said, he does not remember what that fellow said. The man finished preaching, and he said, if you want to give your life to Christ, come forward. He got up and went forward. Why? Because the man preaching was a man who sat one day in an exam hall, and everybody was cheating, and he refused to cheat. He said, I don't care what he's saying. Apparently, he's different. Apparently, whatever it is he's saying, he believes it. He believes it so much that some weeks ago, when we were doing that exam, he refused to cheat. That is, he became something that somebody wanted to hear. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, it's not as if the man memorized something and tried to persuade people with the excellency of the words he was speaking, but because he was transformed. And that's what I'm trying to explain to us. What God wants, the first work that we work for God is so that we may be transformed. Once we are transformed, outward working, all right, automatically is added to us. Please, let me quickly explain something. Because some people, if you are hearing me for the first time, you think that, is this man saying that Christians should not work in church? It is not possible. I'm not out of my mind. I can't possibly say that. I run a ministry and I have co-workers. I run a ministry and people help me do things. These things are necessary, very, very necessary. But like I said, nobody works for me who doesn't listen to me. That's a matter of fact. I'm looking for trouble if I allow that. All right? But, in fact, you know, I was sending a story at that time that I went to a church, very nice church. I was tremendously blessed. The man preached a message that changed my life, literally changed my life. And that was why I started going to that church. And a young woman asked me one day, I said, are you actively involved in the church? I said, yes. She said, what do you do? I said, I am actively involved in listening to the preacher. Now, this is the point I'm making. I that was saying that, all right, it is not as if I did not believe in working. About 2-3 years before then, I worked in a church where I taught what they call the feasting time, which is the early morning Bible study on Sundays, for almost a whole year, more than 10 months. I was teaching it. I believe in it. Are you getting my point? I'm just trying to organize our thoughts so that we know what is more important. Are you getting me? The first work you do for God is that one which you cooperate with Him in working on you. Do you follow my point? What am I saying? As far as God was concerned at that time, it was more important that Banky sat down and heard a word than that he's running up and down. I am not saying I could not have added something to something. You get what I'm saying? I'm just saying that for somebody to judge my commitment based on how much physical activity I'm involved in is a sign that all of us, including that person, are confused. We must be cooperating with Him, first of all, in transforming us. And that is by learning the word of God in the simple sense. Are you getting my point? Listen, I said the other time that prayers don't take care of the devil. Listen to me. Fastings don't take care of the devil. What takes care of the devil is the word that is spoken. The Bible still talked about the shield of faith and all of that. And it said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God, which is spoken out of a heart of faith, which is spoken out of a heart of persuasion. And that can only happen, listen, when that word has first filled that heart. Are you getting my point? Listen, if you're a Christian, what's my challenge to you today? You must know the word of God. I'm not saying you should know the habits of your church. I'm not saying, you see, most of us, we depend so much, and it's so sad. And we pastors often encourage it. We depend so much on the prayer of our man of God. Are you getting my point? Everything we want our man of God to pray. We will travel great distances to go and participate in an anointing. I know the truth is that those things work, but they are very temporal in their effect. If a man were to lay hands on you today and get you totally healed of every affliction you have, you are as exposed to the next affliction as everybody else. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. I am not saying that the laying on of hands will not heal you today. But tomorrow, you are as exposed and as open to every other affliction as people that have never had hands laid upon them. Do you follow my point? But the only way by which you build health into your system is found in the word of God, the book of Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20. It said, my son, attend to my words. My son, incline your ears to my saying. My son, don't let them depart from your eyes, or is it your heart? Keep them in the midst of your eyes. He said, for they are life to those who find them, and medicine to their whole body. I was listening to Andre Womack, and he explained something. Actually, I said this thing when I was preaching on radio many years ago, that God does not like working miracles. And the day I said it, I knew a lot of people didn't understand what I was saying. And I listened to Andre Womack analyze that situation. He said that there is a difference between a blessing and a miracle. That a miracle is temporal. It comes only when you are in deep crisis. Listen to this. A miracle is what? Temporal. It comes only when you are in deep crisis and is never abundant. It just gives you enough to sustain you for one day. Are you getting my point? For you to get the miracle for the next day, you must also be in deep crisis for the next day. He said, but a blessing is otherwise. A blessing is the way it is. It is abundant. These blessings shall follow you and overtake you. That is, before you are hungry, food is there on the table. A miracle is not like that. A miracle waits till you are hungry and you are desperately hungry. And just before you die, it shows up. That's just the way miracles are. But a blessing, no. A blessing comes and it fills you. Before you are hungry, the next meal is there. Other people want to eat with you, it's available. Everybody has abundance if they are walking in a blessing. But if people are waiting for miracles, they are always managing. No matter the amount of power they have in their lives, they will be managing. When you are waiting for somebody to pray for you, that's what you are begging for. How does the blessing come? It's through the word of God. Are you getting my point? He told the children of Israel, I lay before you today life and death, a blessing and a curse. He said, choose life that you may live. How do you choose life? He said, choose life by obeying these commandments that I'm putting before you today. Are you getting my point? You don't choose life by saying, hey, everybody, how many people are in church today? How many people want life? You shout, amen. How many people want life? Amen. No, no, you don't choose life like that. You choose life by following certain procedures. And we saw that in the book of Psalm chapter 1. It said, blessed is the man. Oh, are you getting my point? Blessed is the man who does not walk in certain areas or stand in certain places, all right, or sit in certain places. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. A blessing does not come by the laying on of hands. A blessing doesn't come by all night prayer. A blessing does not come by fasting. It comes only by the word of God. And the only people that receive it are those who consider it important. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God. It said it's like a pearl of great price that a man finds and he goes to sell all that he has so that he might buy it. What the Lord Jesus was talking about was a sense of value. I'll develop this again next time, but the point I want to make is this. Most Christians, I said to us earlier, are restless. But this is what I mean. They don't understand the value of the word of God. The way I like to illustrate it is this. A young girl wants to marry. She will spend time choosing a wedding gown, choosing the designer of the cake. They spend a lot of time for a ceremony that lasts just a few hours, not even 24 hours. You know how many months of preparation? You know how many amounts of cash of preparation your girl is in? With all the plenty gown, a few hours, that's the end of it. But ask the same couple, what did you ever hear as thus says the Lord? They don't know. Give them a book that this book will change your marriage, but it's 2,500 naira. Is it not expensive? Ask Cinderella how much that shoe she's wearing for that wedding is. Are you getting my point? If they sold that shoe for 2,500, you say that, no, my wedding is more important than 2,500 naira shoe. The shoe that you will wear once, and that's the end of it. Because it doesn't fit any other occasion. But take the word of life. Some time ago I thought about it. You know, for a long time I said, why don't you want to buy some of these messages, the ones that come from my brother? They are so expensive. I said, my wristwatch is expensive. My car is expensive. The fuel I put in it is expensive. Are you getting my point? My perfume is expensive. So I told myself, listen, unless I don't want it, any message I want, and I don't care how much you are selling it, I buy it if only to tell God I value it. Do you get my point? can you buy material things that don't add anything to eternity? For 50,000 naira, 100,000 naira, you take and buy a ring, put for finger. Then they tell you buy CDs and books that will change your life. You say it's expensive. You tell people to buy books, 200 naira. They say it's costly. One day some people came to work in my house. When I was leaving the house, I told my wife, please give them some money to buy something. They just tip them when they are leaving. So my wife gave the young man, when he finished his work, 1,000 naira. In the process, the man saw a book by me. Oh, you mean that was Pastor Banky? Wow, wow. He held the book. Oh, well, I'd love to read this book. Oh, my wife says, no problem, it's for sale. You can buy it. I said, you didn't give him? She said, for what? I just dashed him 1,000 naira. If he values it, he should from that 1,000 naira, give me 300 naira or 500 naira and pick the book and go. I stopped in the checkpoint once. Policeman saw a book in my boot. He said, can he have one? I said, like, I cannot have the money. He said, police not get money. I called it from him, put in the boot, close the boot. Officer, if you want to give me 200 naira. Is it the money? No, it's not the money. But don't cast spells before swine. That's what the Bible says. A day I was with some CDs for certain reason. A brother saw me. He said, are they for sale? I said, yes. How much? I told him the price. I can't remember exactly what. It was something like 500 naira. So he dipped in his pocket and brought out 1,000 naira. I said, well, I don't have 500 naira to give you as change. I wasn't selling. I held it for certain reasons. So I said, okay, hold the 1,000 naira. I'll collect my money later. I gave him the CDs. I wasn't planning to collect the money from him. I just wanted to know whether he was willing to pay. And when he demonstrated to me he was willing to pay, I didn't tell him my dad's name. I just said, okay, hold it. I'll collect my money at that time. He said, no problem, sir. And as soon as he left, I forgot about it. Listen, we go to church. Is the word of God valuable to us? Churches are full on Sundays. Go for midweek service, what they call Bible study, digging deep, whichever church you go to, whichever title you use. That's when they don't come. But that Sunday where they can wear their fine suits and their fine gilly and come and supposedly be doing worshiping the Lord. I tell pastors, if you want to know the number of people in your church, don't count on Sunday, you'll be fooling yourself. Count on those odd services where you focus on prayer and the word of God. And I don't mean prayer against enemy. You know, if you declare that tomorrow we are going to finish all the enemies that will be afflicting you, the church will expand, it will explode, your wall will break. I don't mean that kind of prayer. Just wait. You want to know members, that's when you will count. We are going to be praying and studying the word of God between the hours and three and five on Saturday evening. You know, when people are discouraged during the week, they don't believe in God, though. They come for encouragement on Sunday. They do. Are you getting my point? If people gather on Sunday, don't be impressed with your pastor. The point I've made today is that in all that we do, the quest to know God better and be conformed to his nature is what is the center of Christianity. Are you getting my point? It is not about getting blessings from the hand of God. We walk with him so that we can become like him. And the way by which we do that is to focus and have our delight in his word. I hope you've gotten my point.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.